Hello, and welcome to the Architects of Destination Advocacy podcast from Destinations International, the trade association representing destination organizations around the globe, brought to you exclusively by Relic Agency as part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andreas Weisenborn, and welcome you for checking out our podcast. For each episode, we want to tell the story of both usual and unusual suspects in our sector's history and the key advocacy moments for them. These stories are meant to tell the tale in full, covering many of our strategic issues and opportunities our sector faces, whether it be community alignment, destination stewardship, resilience, or actions based on values. We hope you listen in and learn from your peers. With that, let's get to the show. Hello, and welcome back to the first episode of 2024 of the Architects of Destination Advocacy podcast. First things first, let's get started on a great new year by talking about all the great new events happening for Destinations International available at our website at destinationsinternational.org. First up is going to be, or actually just found out, our recently sold out Marketing Communications Summit in Salt Lake City. So if you made the ticket, hope and look forward to seeing you there. But right after that, we'll be going to the other coast for CEO Summit in Boston, followed by our spring CDME courses in Washington, D.C. that aligns with our Convention Sales and Services Summit. This is both taking place in the spring, also with our Destination Showcase. And then we go into the big show, of course. We're talking about annual convention, CDME, and Visitor Services Summit, all taking place jointly in Tampa, Florida over July. Then we go into, it sounds crazy to say, but our thing about fall, we have both our Advocacy Summit, our Business Operations Summit, our recently renamed Social Inclusion Summit, and Fall CDME, all taking place throughout the month of October. So, one more details, go online at destinationsinternational.org to check out our upcoming events and hope to see you there. So, on to today's show. Today's podcast episode, and first for the new year, really takes into the realm of community connectors for the greater good of collaboration. A tongue twister if you say it enough times. As destination organizations, our role and primary stewardship is the community. We foster economic development, quality of place, and community vitality, all through the power of collaboration. In many ways, collaboration is our greatest asset, as we are neither silos nor single source solutions for many of the problems facing our destinations. We operate best in a space with shared lanes, but always come to the table with the brand of the community held in the highest regard. As we start 2024, I wanted to bring this conversation full circle on collaboration with a drop in inspiration on our sector's greatest strength. So for that, I wanted to bring two esteemed guests to really talk at length about collaboration. So welcome to the show, Annie Rummel, CEO of Great Lakes Bay Regional CVB, and Nicole Mahoney, CEO of Break the Ice Media and fellow podcast host of Destination on the Left and recent offer, which we'll get into. So Annie and Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Andreas. We love being here.
Yes, thank you so much, Andreas. I'm excited. This is one of my favorite topics.
Wonderful. And thank you both for being on. Just for a little bit of background for our listeners, Annie and Nicole, would you guys both mind giving a little intro to yourself and your current role? So Nicole, I'll go with you first and then hop to Annie.
All right, wonderful. So as you mentioned, I am the CEO of Break the Ice Media, and we are a strategic PR and digital agency serving clients in travel, tourism, and hospitality throughout the U.S. and Canada. And I really wanted to share our company's purpose with you because this is what really excites our employees and gets them up every day to work on clients. And that is that our purpose is to support economic growth and prosperity within the communities that we serve, because we believe that tourism makes or breaks entire regions and is critical to economic development. And when I think about this purpose of my company, it actually stems from one of my earliest experiences in tourism, when I was part of a team of collaborators responsible for building a new AAA baseball stadium in downtown Rochester, New York. And that was in the early 90s. And that kind of set me on this path of exploring collaborations, and specifically what I like to call coopetition, where perceived competitors come together to collaborate and build something, you know, more together than they can on their own. So that's a real quick synopsis of where my passion for collaboration comes from.
Thank you, Nicole. Annie?
Well, Annie Rummel here, and I live in Frankenmuth, Michigan with my husband, Will. I'm a lifetime Michigan resident. I attend St. Lawrence Lutheran Church and graduated from Michigan State University with my PhD in Park Recreation and Tourism Resource Studies. I worked in the Michigan travel sector for my entire career, 45 years so far, with 38 of those years spent at a CVB. I currently serve as the CEO of our three-county regional destination marketing and management association organization and run a foundation.
Impressive on both your accounts. So thank you so much for being on the show. Let's kind of get into the heart of 2024 and really talking about collaboration. So Annie, I will start with you. I've had the privilege of you being a frequent advocacy committee chair for us here at Destinations International. It's always been an honor. I've seen much of your organization's work in collaboration. In particular, you have a very unique Venn diagram across key stakeholders that you talk about this collaboration entity. Would you mind kind of talking through a little bit about that concept of how you thought about this and its origin point for you?
Mm-hmm, sure. The concept was to understand the working boundaries of my fellow community organizations. And I started with my economic development organizations and fellow chamber of commerce organizations. I felt by learning about what their boundaries were, what their work responsibilities were, that I would be sure to stay in my own lane when it came to our Convention and Visitor Bureau work. But it also helped me to define the gray areas, those areas where our efforts might overlap. It provided me with guidelines to articulate details regarding efforts in advance of beginning work that we may both benefit from. And then leveraging the diagram, I could invite partner community organizations to participate in collaborative efforts, ensuring to explain how the efforts extend their work and not duplicate it. It allowed me to offer to share resources and, again, to make sure we weren't duplicating efforts, but we were benefiting not only their organizations, but the community by getting more things done.
What I always enjoyed about looking through it and seeing it is where you do have these shared lanes across the different entities. And like you said, not duplicating work, but finding ways where it collaborates. And that kind of leads to the question I wanted to ask you, Nicole. One of your recent hats now is an author in your new book, Stronger Together. You kind of identify these concepts around collaborator types, the three C's as you articulated. Would you guys mind talking a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. There's two main concepts in the book. And then there's a lot of stories told throughout the book, including Annie's story and a story about the Venn diagram. So I love this. I'm so excited to be here. But what we did is in 2020, we commissioned a first of its kind study on the role of collaboration in the travel, tourism, and hospitality industry. And we surveyed professionals from all areas of the sector, including DMOs, attractions, tour operators, hospitality businesses, anyone who participates in the ecosystem. And what we found from that is that there are three types of collaborators, basically three types of attitudes about collaboration. And we named these three attitudes. One type is the promoter, the other one is a doubter, and the third one is a protector. And what we found is about one third each were represented by the pool that we surveyed. And the differences between all three, I'll explain in just a minute. But one of the things I want to point out is that it takes all three to make a successful collaboration. And what we talk about in the book and what my belief is the more we can understand where people at the table are coming from and what their, what their perspective is on collaboration, the better we can work together. And so the promoters, these are the ones that are probably like Annie and myself and you, Andreas. We're all in on collaboration. We're ready to raise our hand and jump right in. And sometimes we might jump in too quick without thinking so much without the Venn diagram. The doubters, these are the ones that they still want to collaborate, but they think it's kind of hard. It can be cumbersome. It might not bring as much benefit as, say, the promoters make it out to sound like it will. And so what they're doing is they're the critical thinkers. They're asking the hard questions, which we might, envision when we're engaging in a collaboration with a doubter is them kind of putting walls up and maybe not being as open to collaboration. But what they're really doing is helping us think through all of the possibilities and answer those questions kind of up front as we get going. And then the third type are the protectors. And the protectors are people who are all about collaboration, but they do believe they have some secret sauce, some competitive edge. And so they're not willing to share everything and to lay everything out on the table. And what I kind of love about this Venn diagram that just made me think of it when Annie was talking about it is there's those gray areas. So there may be these parts, you know, of our lanes, if you will, where we're not collaborating necessarily in those areas. But with the protectors, we're really finding those gray areas where we can collaborate and they can still feel like their secret sauce is still theirs and that it's not open to the whole collaboration. So that's one of the concepts. And I'll stop there for a minute because the 3 C's framework is a whole another piece. I didn't know if you had any questions about, you know, the types to start.
Yeah, I think that's a great anchor point because I wanted to throw it to Annie about the 3 C's is how have you, from what Nicole outlined, how have you seen those in your own community? I mean, you in your bio, you mentioned, you know, you've been in this over 35 plus years in this particular sector. How have you seen those 3 C's in your day-to-day as a CEO of a destination organization?
Well, we look at the 3 C's as our customers, our competition, and our corporation. And what Nicole just said about identifying those collaborators who might hesitate because they haven't really been educated on what tourism development within a destination could look like, we consider the resident as the first step or our main customer. So by analyzing what their thoughts are, we've identified key success factors for our region as well as our marketing strategies. And so I use it as an example. By focusing on our residents, we learned that we needed to understand their desires of what they wanted their home to be transitioned to. We knew we wanted to advance it in the area of visitation, but is that what they really wanted? So we needed to understand where in our physical communities do our residents want visitors? Where don't they want visitors? What type of visitors do they want? And what kind of visitors don't they want? Mm-hmm. And that way, prior to building our new tourism master plan, we took into consideration their opinions. We opened meetings to these folks. And now we're finding that they're actually embracing and wanting to step up and help us deploy the plan that they helped create because the respect for their desires was taken into consideration first and foremost.
Thank you, Annie. Back to you, Nicole, about, again, a little more about the 3 C's. I was curious. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm sure every destination is the primary collaborator, but for some of the work that you did in the book, did you start seeing similar architects across different communities of who made up the other C's, the combatants, like were there typically other entities in every community? Like, yeah, they're the ones that you have to push a little harder to try to get them to come to the table or not.
Yeah. So the way that that's drawn out in the book is through stories of collaborations that have happened, you know, all different types of collaborations that have happened and how they've made them successful. And one thing I want to point out with the 3 C's is I love Annie's 3 C's of customers, competition, and corporation. Our 3 C's actually are communication, commonality, and commitment. And when I think about the 3 C's, it's a matter of how you frame a collaboration and how you set it up for success. So like that work that you do in the beginning to set it up for success. And the stories in the book really are examples that I've taken from countless interviews, actually, on my podcast where I ask about this. And basically, the 3 themes that I get when I ask folks how they find success or how they set up a successful collaboration come from communication, finding the common ground, that commonality, and making sure you have the commitment to making sure the collaboration actually succeeds. So in the research, we actually went out to kind of prove that those were really the 3 elements. And we've developed not only the framework, but some other tools that can help prospective collaborators set their collaborations up in the beginning, you know, from the get-go for success.
Let me ask this, from the research you did, do you feel collaboration is a learned skill? So those who maybe have not previously collaborated as much, that it's a skill set that they can adopt an ethos to adapt into their organization?
Yeah, so we actually asked that in a second study that we did in 2022. We did a study on the operationalization of collaboration. And we asked, how do people learn about collaboration? And one of the number one responses or the feedback that we got was people are learning it more from like a peer-to-peer. There's no formal training in terms of how you build a collaboration or how they do collaborate. But another key thing that we found is about 99%, so pretty much everyone collaborates. Mm-hmm. So it's something that happens naturally or unnaturally, I don't know how to describe it exactly, but what I'm trying to do with the studies and with the book is to get folks to think about how they can become better collaborators. Because if you're a little bit more strategic about it, like Annie, you can set yourself up for success. You can achieve more. You can, you know, figure out different ways to achieve your business goals through collaboration. And so that's really the focus of what, you know, what I'm trying to share is collaboration happens everywhere, but I don't think we should take it for granted. I think we really should think about it, be strategic about how we do the work and how we align ourselves with our fellow collaborators.
That's a great point. I'm going to ask the same question to both of you about that. I'll start with you, Annie. I mean, from the Venn diagram and all the work that you've done on the local, state, and many times the federal level, are there any entities that you wish we had more collaboration with from your perspective?
Oh, absolutely. I think, first of all, I totally agree with Nicole and her findings. I also think that it's so important prior to entering into an offer to collaborate with someone that you build a relationship and a level of trust.
Yep.
Because collaborative efforts are built on trust, and the speed of a project increases as the level of trust increases. So I think that relationship building in advance is critical. But I've used this approach when working to understand relationships on any level with government or with other organizations. An example of this includes understanding various levels of government, like in our advocacy committee that we worked so hard on, Andreas. It's critical that the destination marketing and management organization understands the differences and the level of authority when creating a legislative agenda. So applying where the work of the CVB overlaps with the work of government, or identifying a legislative issue that you want to work with, it can be very uncomfortable if you're addressing a federal level legislative issue with a state or local level elected official. So by doing the analysis well in advance and understanding what their level of work is, you walk into their office with your ask on the legislative level, and they're going to work with you and want to collaborate if they see that you have done all your homework in advance and are very specific with the direction that you want them to go, providing the background and the logic for what you're asking them to do, conducting the analysis of working boundaries for foundations. If you're trying to seek out financial investments, you want to be very sure you understand the boundaries of funding that a foundation will do and one that they're not as comfortable doing. It just improves your greater opportunity for success.
Well said. And thank you, Annie. I actually want the same thing to you, Nicole, just a slight twist is one, any entities that you commonly saw, you know, we really should collaborate more with them, or ones that you saw that I can't believe they'd never collaborated before previously, from your perspective, from all the research you did going into your book and telling stories on your podcast.
I think the biggest thing for me, it's not necessarily specific sectors or specific entities, but it's this idea of co-opetition and collaborating with competitors. And how many people have said to me, especially since the book came out, you know, you've given me a different way to think about collaborating with competitors. And I had someone tell me recently, who's a business owner, he said, when I owned my business, he's retired now, when I owned my business, all I wanted to do was beat my competition. And he said, and so in doing that, though, I ended up taking on deals or selling products or whatever it was that he was pushing, maybe not necessarily at a profit, because his goal wasn't necessarily profit. His goal was beating the competition. And he said, once I read your book, I realized how much better it is to work together, and that there really, a rising tide really does lift all boats, and there is enough out there, this kind of idea of an abundance mindset. And I've had countless people tell me that when they talk about collaborating with competitors. But something I wanted to build on from what Annie just said is in our study on the operationalization of collaboration. So this is where we looked at how organizations in travel and tourism are using collaboration as a strategic business strategy, right? As a strategic pillar of their business strategy. And one of the things that we found out was that the top reasons cited for being more strategic about collaboration align exactly with what Annie just said. The first one, it's a competitive advantage over other organizations that do not operationalize. So as Annie said, by having the analysis done, by being, you know, very strategic about the work and understanding, in her example, government, she's able to get further, to get more done. Another one is improved reputation and prestige within the industry. So the more, you know, the more buttoned up you are and the more analysis you have and the more strategic you can be, the more people are going to look to you as that leader in the industry. And then the third was an increased likelihood that others will want to collaborate with you. So all of a sudden, more opportunities will come your way. And then the last one, ultimately, which is what we're trying to do, is increased visitors, customers, or traffic, whatever, you know, whatever that the goal is there as a result of all of those. And so I think the big lesson for me in this is that not to take collaboration for granted. The more strategic we can be about it, and the more we think about it in a strategic way and how it really will help us move our business goals forward, the better we will be all around in terms of achieving those goals.
Yeah, great point on the competition adage at the beginning. I actually want to get Anna your take on that, because as destinationalizations, you all compete on brand and attention. How do you reconcile sort of, there is an inherent competitive nature to selling and marketing and promoting your destination while also being collaborative? I just would love your take on that.
We're blessed in Michigan with, I have colleagues around the state that we collaborate whenever we can. We share materials. I just got a call from one of my colleagues saying, hey, I understand you just took your employee manual to an HR and had it updated. Would you share it with me? And I'm going to email him my entire document, because maybe today the visitors are going to his destination, but get them to a peninsula state like Michigan. And if they can keep coming back, eventually they'll find their way around. We've demonstrated this as a state with the creation of Circle Michigan, the first statewide motor coach association. We work together here in the state of Michigan. And I really don't look at my other communities within the state as competition, but I look at them as complementary, and how can we work together and create a systematic visitation approach for every market segment: sports, motor coach, leisure, and we just reach out and work together.
Yeah, very diplomatic answer, Annie. Just got to point that out.
Well, it's true.
No, it speaks volumes. I just think it's such a, anyone's been in this industry long enough, everyone is a lifer and typically wants to work together to collaborate. So the example of like sharing the HR document like that, that's something very much that we see replicated every day in our industry. But the idea that we also, you know, like you said, the visitors might come one day to me, but then maybe might one day to their community. I love that part.
I just wanted to jump in on this idea of the HR, because one of the things also that came out of our study is that, which I thought was extremely interesting, is how deep in an organization collaboration goes when it comes to the operations of an organization. And one of the questions we asked was, you know, we were trying to find out, where does collaboration happen? And I had, you know, feeling mostly in marketing, like you just gave the example of the motor coach of Circle Michigan. It's, you know, a marketing arm. But what we found was collaboration is happening in all parts, at the C-suite, in marketing, in visitor service, in business development, finance, legal, and even IT. And I just find that fascinating, and actually just a further example of how important collaboration is and how we do work together, and how by working together, we can all be stronger.
Yeah, that is a great insight I actually wanted to dig into with you. I mean, you look at the landscape of the entire tourism economy, not just destinationalizations. From some of the findings and insights and research that you did you feel that there's stuff that we could all learn from each other that are all in the same industry, or ones that maybe we should take a better look at of how to better collaborate, just from your perspective?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I do this on my podcast all the time. It's interesting because I ask the same questions pretty much for all of my guests on my show, because I'm trying to look for threads and themes. And when I ask the collaboration question to a DMO like Annie, generally it rolls right off the top of their head and they know exactly what they want to share, and really good examples. But then I would speak with, say, I remember speaking with a winery owner one time. And their first thought was, well, we don't really collaborate. We really don't do coopetition. But then as they started to think about it more, they realized, oh, we have a wine trail. You know, our wine trail is a collaborative, you know, program. Our wine trail then works with the DMO. That's a collaboration. And then all of a sudden they start to see it. So I think really the biggest thing for me is that once people can open their eyes up to what's actually happening, I guess this goes back to this, we take it for granted. Mm-hmm. And once you recognize it, then you can get better at it and you can foster things like trust, like Annie was talking about and things like that. So I actually think that the rest of the industry can learn a lot from DMOs, but also just in general, the more that we can share our stories of collaboration, the more inspiration and ideas will spark in people and the better off we'll be. And then my other hope is understanding those attitudes that I talked about earlier, because when that research came back, I could see those attitudes in certain collaborations I had been in before. And in some instances, you might've thought they were roadblocks, but once you understand where people are coming from, you actually realize, no, this is actually part of what makes it work. So that kind of understanding of where everyone is coming from also so important.
Well said. I want both your insights have been so incredible today. I want to round out the set of questions to kind of dig into a little bit about that comment you just made about the winemaker. And I want to ask both this is, if you come across an individual or another entity who says that to you, says, I really don't know how to collaborate, or I don't even know how to get started in your respective role in either destinationization, the tourism economy, I would like to know, what would be your advice on, well, here's actually how you should get started in collaboration. I'd love to ask you first, Annie, and then finish it off with you, Nicole.
Well, I think that the first thing is to recommend that they enter any collaborative effort with their priority order. We all have limited resources on the direction that we can go and invest our time and our resources. So make sure that you're prioritizing and not doing it just for the sake of collaboration, that there mm-hmm. is a function and a purpose behind it. Then do your research, do your homework, and find out what are the most important items to the other person. Have your focus be on how will they benefit from a collaborative effort, more so than looking internally and saying, oh, I want to benefit from this. It's more of an external, what's in it for them, and understanding that very clearly, and then that mutual benefit. Once you realize what that mutual benefit can be, then you make the approach, establish a relationship, and open the door for a collaboration.
Great answer. Nicole, sorry you have to follow up that one, so go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's an awesome roadmap, and I don't have much to add to that except to say I would suggest that they think about what their overall business goals are and take a look at some of the initiatives and what they're trying to achieve and ask themselves, can I achieve this on my own? Can I achieve more of this if I find a partnership or enter into a collaboration? And I'll just share one quick example, because this was another question we had asked in our recent study, and it was about how collaboration helps address organizations' DEI goals. So it's not necessarily, always thinking about collaboration in terms of visitors or whatever your key metrics are. It's also other initiatives, DEI goals as a for example. And in the study, 53% said that collaboration actually provides opportunities for them to work with people with more diverse backgrounds. 47% said that they pursue collaborations with organizations owned or operated by people of diverse backgrounds. So there's a way that you can think about all of your goals and how collaboration can actually help you achieve those. And that's just one example. And then Andreas, if I may just plug, I do have a collaboration toolkit on my website. We've developed materials from these studies that one's called a collaboration sweet spot filter, which actually does exactly what Annie talked about, gets you thinking about a collaboration in advance. There's a way to kind of rank order or score an idea or a collaborative partner based on the research that we've done. And then there's also an operationalization assessment, also based on our study, in terms of thinking about how am I using collaboration strategically. And both of those tools are on our website at breaktheicemedia.com/collaboration.
Oh, wonderful. We'll definitely include in the show notes, and actually I'll give you another chance to plug the URL. So I want to say thank you both for your time and expertise today talking about this. If folks and listeners want to learn more about the work you do, where can they find you? So Nicole, I'll start with you first.
Sure. I love to hear from folks. You can find me on LinkedIn, Nicole Mahoney on LinkedIn, you'll find me, or at breaktheicemedia.com, which is our website. And I'm always happy to do virtual chats with people. And you can reach me at my email, Nicole@breaktheicemedia.com.
Wonderful. Annie, yourself?
Best way, my email address, Annette, A-N-N-E-T-T-E, at gogreat.com.
Wonderful. So thank you again for joining myself, Andreas Weisenborn, Annie Rommel, and Nicole Mahoney on this month's episode of the Architects of Destination Advocacy. Please make sure to subscribe within your podcast listening service to always catch the latest episode. To learn more about the work we do, please make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at destinationsinternational.org or simply checking out our content throughout the advocacy section of our website or speaking at one of our upcoming events. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.